Trinity Spears. Brahma Rudradi Daiva Să nu te înalte vicei ta, să pașandi la vei trupam. Which means, one who considers Lord Narayan on the level with great demigods, like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, is immediately listed among non-believers. Unquote. The fact is that by performing Sankirtan Yajna, one can immediately please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Narayan himself descends and immediately is present. In this age of Kali, Narayan is immediately present in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Concerning Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32 states, Krishna Varanam Tishakrishnam Sandro Panyastra Parshadam Yajyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti He Sumedhasa. Which means, in the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Unquote. After all, human life is meant for pleasing Narayan. And this can easily be done by performing Sankirtan Yajna. Wherever there's a congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Gaura Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his incarnation as Lord Chaitanya, immediately appears and is worshipped by Sankirtan Yajna. In this verse it is said that Narayan is Nyasinam Gati, the ultimate goal of the sannyasins. The goal of those who have renounced the material world is the attainment of Narayan. A Vaishnava sannyasi therefore dedicates his life to serving Narayan. He does not falsely claim to be Narayan. Instead of becoming nirvaira, non-envious of other living entities, one who tries to become Narayan becomes envious of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the attempt to become Narayan constitutes the greatest offense. Actually, when one chants or discusses the transcendental activities of the Lord, he immediately becomes non-envious. In this material world, everyone is envious of everyone else. But by vibrating or discussing the holy name of the Lord, one becomes non-envious and devoid of material hankering. Because of our envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have become envious of all other living entities. When we are no longer envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be real peace, unity, and fraternity in human society. Without Narayan or Sankirtan Yajna, there cannot be peace in this material world. Yatra Narayanash Sakshad Bhagavan Nyasinam Gati Samstuyate Sakata Su Mukta Sanya Punam Punam. The Supreme Lord Narayan is present among devotees who are engaged in hearing and chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Narayan is the ultimate goal of sannyasis, those in the renounced order of life. And Narayan is worshipped through the Sankirtan movement by those who are liberated from material contamination. Indeed, they recite the holy name again and again. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Uttaranejina Prakhtivaranta Swamiji Namre Namaste Saraswati Vege Gaur Valivacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Astrachyade Jajane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vedanta Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhaj Kapatru Vyaskar Vyaskar Sindhu Vyavaja Pajitanam Bhavare Vyo Vaishna Vyo Namo Namaha. This is very beautiful verse. Very profound, very instructive, and extremely relishable. Prabhupada, in a fairly substantial part of the purport, is focusing on this point of how the Mayavadis and those influenced by them, there are also Mayavadis, but they're not like sort of official card-carrying Mayavadis. But the Mayavadis, they have a slogan which is very dear to them, and they repeat it regularly, and when they meet and greet each other, they say it to each other as a token of recognition and respect. Namo Narayanaya. I offer my obeisances to Narayan. Narayanaya. To Narayan. But they are offering their respects to that other Mayavadi Sannyasi or whoever it may be. But they're addressing them by offering my obeisances to you, Narayan. But you are not Narayan. Whoever that person is that addressing is not Narayan, has never been, will never be, and in fact, at best, is a long, long way from possibly being considered as a candidate to be Lord Narayan. Hopelessly far away, it is just too much altogether. But really, it's just a very wonderful, very remarkable manifestation of the influence, on one hand, of the power, the deluding power of the mode of ignorance and the modes of material nature in general, and the amazing capacity of the conditioned soul to become bewildered and particularly to become bewildered in the sense of attributing more value to himself than he deserves. Here, Srila Prabhupada quotes well-known verse, Yastu Narayanam Devam. That person who considers Narayan to be on the level of Devam, Brahma, Rudra, Daivata, Brahma, Rudra, Adi. One considers Narayan to be on the level of demigods, beginning with, but not limited to, but just beginning with Brahma and Shiva, then Sa Pashandi Bhaved Dhruvam. Such a person is Pashandi, which really means just like a terrible offender. just, not like an innocent, foolish offender, but really someone who's really envious and really wants to express some unpleasant feelings towards the other person. Passion, it's really a very strong term. So, yes, but this is going on. This is going on. As is said, and Srila Prabhupada said on many occasions, that the last snare of Maya is to think that you are God. And to think that you are God, it really generally only happens, at least very much mainly, in the society of people who have some interest in spiritual life in one way or another. Generally just the materialistic people as such, they don't care about God, and they're more that either he doesn't exist or he's just there to gratify my senses. But those who are engaged in one way or another in some type of spiritual life, or what is meant to be some sort of spiritual life, then the last trick of the material energy is to somehow or other just fool them into thinking that, oh yes, it's me, I'm God. I remember many years ago, just when I joined, actually, a matter of weeks afterwards, we were listening to a class of Srila Prabhupada's, and Srila Prabhupada was talking, about the Ashtanga yogis and those types of people who try to realize the super soul, and eventually they may do that. They may actually realize the super soul, and this is really, in a certain sense, it's advanced. It's quite advanced. But Prabhupada in that class was saying, so those Ashtanga yogis and people like that, they may actually realize the super soul, but then, the last sneer of Maya, they think, ah, it's me. Shishi Krishna Balaram, Shishi Radha Shamsundar, Shishi Gornitai Krijaka. Yes, they think, oh, it's me. How nice, I've realized myself. But that is the last sneer of Maya. They were making a certain type of progress, but at that late stage, they really tripped and fell very badly. So, if even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and other demigods, if even they are a long way from being on the level of Lord Narayan, or being possibly to be addressed as Lord Narayan, then what about ourselves, the just residents of Kali Yuga, and deeply conditioned by Kali Yuga? In Bhagavad Gita, at the end of the 10th chapter, Lord Krishna, after describing his different manifestations or manifestations of his different energies, Lord Krishna makes the point that what are all these beautiful and wondrous creations from? Just all these things, they arise from just a spark of my splendor. With a single fragment of thyself, I maintain and sustain the entire material realm, and not even just this universe, but actually the entire material sphere. Just a tiny fragment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But someone who is deeply under the influence and actually the control of the modes of material nature is now thinking that he is Narayana. So this, of course, is really about as foolish as one could get. It's a very terrible mistake. But this is the position of these Mayavadis. Therefore it said, Mayavadi Aparadi. And Lord Chaitanya said, Mayavadi Bhashya Shunale Hayash Sarva Nasha. Anyone who hears the Mayavadi Bhash, their talk, their explanations and commentaries like that, then Sarva, Hayah Sarva Nash, for that person, everything is destroyed. Everything is destroyed. So it's very unfortunate, but this material world is a place of misfortune and a place for the unfortunate. And this is what is going on. So the sannyasis, nyasinam gati. There are different types of sannyasis, of course. But ultimately the real sannyasis, or the best of the sannyasis, are the Vaishnava sannyasis, or for that matter, any really sincere and dedicated devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For them, Lord Narayana, not like some figment of their imagination that I'm Lord Narayana, but they worship Lord Narayana. They dedicate their lives to Lord Narayana, and ultimately to Lord Krishna. And in this way, they become truly delivered, and they actually achieve the goal of life, getting out of this material world, developing their dormant, forgotten relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in the meantime, relishing the nectar, and more and more nectar of the Sankirtan Yajna, chanting the Lord's holy names, distributing the chanting of the Lord's holy names, talking about Krishna, telling people about Krishna, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, which is a very special way giving people Krishna Katha. So, delivering the people, delivering themselves, and becoming very, very happy in the meantime. Actually, it's very ironic that the Mayavadis and people like them, that they can accept this idea somehow or other. Their intelligence is able to agree and accept, yes, that I am Narayana. It is a case of mistaken identity. It is a mistake of impersonation in a very extreme degree. Very, very extreme degree. Just like if you meet someone, or somehow or other, someone is trying to impersonate you and go around and sort of take advantage of your facilities by impersonating you, or, you know, maybe someone like the president or a police officer, something like that. Just recently, I was staying in a devotee's place in South Africa, and he was saying that some months before, a whole gang of thieves dressed up as members of the South African police force came in a big vehicle marked as a South African police vehicle, came to this exclusive, gated, secure, highly security protected residential estate, came to the door and said, "Where?" And to the gates and said, "We're the police. Someone called us, we've got to go in." Went racing in without identifying themselves or anything. Banged on the people's door, got allowed in, and held the people up and stole everything. Put it in the big vehicle along with the people. And then, so the people couldn't raise the alert, and then drove out. So you see, this is impersonation. And it's not very nice. It's really not very nice. So it's a great insult to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a great offense. And it's really just, it's terrible. And as a result, those people, Prabhupada makes the point of the third point, they cannot become nirvaira. They cannot become non-envious. They're envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead impersonating Him. So they cannot become non-envious, but those who actually dedicate themselves as devotees at the lotus feet of Lord Narayan, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they actually become non-envious. As Lord Shiva told Durga in the sixth canto, Narayana Parasarve Na Kutaschana Viditi Swarga Pavarga Narakeshu Apitulyata Darshana. Just see these devotees of Lord Narayana. They're on such a level, their hearts are so purified, and they're so free from personal consideration and anything of that sort, that for them, Swarga, heavenly planets, Apavarga, liberation, Naraka, hell, doesn't make any difference to them. Doesn't make any difference. They'll just accept it. If they take it, if they understand this is the will of the Lord, then they will accept any situation, be it materially good or bad, or even just material or spiritual. They'll accept if they understand it's the will of the Lord. Lord Shiva, of course, spoke that verse to Durga just after Durga had cursed Maharaj Chitraketu. Probably you're all familiar with that. The narration there in the sixth canto, very amazing story. Chitraketu was flying around the universe in some very special airship. He flew past Mount Kailash, and who should he see sitting down there surrounded by sannyasis. That's Lord Shiva. And of course, if it was as simple as that, it would have just been very nice. But there was a complication, was that Parvati Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, was sitting on his lap while he was instructing this group of great renunciates and very spiritually advanced sannyasis. So Chitraketu laughed, and Durga saw that, and Durga cursed him, become a demon, and he became Vritrasura. So that, you know, that's a very amazing narration. I remember when that volume of the sixth canto came out, on that very day, I was arrested distributing books on Carnaby Street in London. Anyway, it's like a shopping street off the main street. I was arrested on a Friday evening, and they locked me up till Monday, so I had to stay in the cells. They took my neck beads and my Brahmin thread and my japa beads because they were afraid I might hang myself. I told them it's okay, don't take it that seriously. But anyway, they took those things and held me for the three nuns. But the devotees brought me that book. It had just arrived in the temple that day. So I read the whole thing a couple of times, and I took it as Krishna's mercy. Because normally we're very busy doing this and that. So what a story, Vritrasura. Sure, that's amazing. And who is Chitraketu? And he becomes Vritrasura right there, or in the course of that whole pastime. So when he was cursed there, our acharyas explain that Parvati Durga, she reacted very strongly. It's understandable in a certain sense, because Lord Shiva is her husband, and she's well aware he's an extremely great personality, and that even if he is sitting there in front of a group of great renunciates, that he's sitting there with his wife on his lap, even though if he were just some ordinary materialist, it would be kind of stupid, and it would be laughable. But Lord Shiva, he's such an exalted, extremely exalted and wonderful, elevated personality, that there's nothing wrong with it for him. Nothing wrong with it. And none of those sannyasis complained. None of them left thinking, you know, this is inappropriate or something like that. They were listening very attentively to Lord Shiva. So it's understandable in a certain sense that she would become very angry and feel it was appropriate and the right thing to punish the offender who would laugh at Lord Shiva like he's just some sort of stupid, materialistic person. But explanations are given there that there are different possibilities why Chitraketu might have laughed. It's not necessarily simply that he thought look at Lord Shiva sitting there, you know, and laughed in that sense. Looking down on Lord Shiva. But one suggestion is made that maybe Chitraketu, who of course himself was very, very great devotee, maybe Chitraketu was thinking, possibly, that look at this situation. Lord Shiva with his wife on his back and all these sannyasis, maybe thought that if the materialistic people saw this, they would become bewildered. And so maybe he was laughing, thinking how stupid the conditioned souls are, that they might laugh at this or, you know, misconstrue this in some, you know, offensive way, stupid way. So maybe he laughed for that reason. And a few other possible reasons are suggested why he might have laughed. And of course it's fairly clear that, you know, it's extremely unlikely for an elevated devotee like him to just sort of mock another exalted devotee, particularly Vaishnavana Yatashambhu, Lord Shiva, who is so special amongst the devotees. Anyway, that was the background. So the Durga pronounced this curse, you become a demon. And Chitraketu, then, he didn't appeal, please be merciful, it was a mistake, or I didn't mean it, or try to explain it, or anything of that sort. He just accepted it. He just accepted it. And then he left. And then Lord Shiva spoke that verse, Narayana Pradhan Sarvay. Just see the devotees of Lord Narayana. So non-envious, so humble, and so much seeing that whatever happens in my life, it's just the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's all it is. So I shouldn't protest or whatever, just take it. Yes, so this is the case. This is the case with the devotees, whereas the Mayavadi sannyasis and so many others, people influenced by Mayavad, they may think we all Narayanaya, I offer my obeisances to you who are Narayan. But at the same time, they expect to be offered respect in the same way. You are Narayan, so I'm respecting you, and so am I. Now you should repeat the same thing. So it's terribly envious. And it's just such a crazy type of consciousness, actually. So such people, how can they become pure-hearted, non-envious, and so extremely humble and able to accept whatever comes as the mercy of the Lord and not try to sidestep it or anything of that sort? A similar case is there with Maharaj Parikshit in Srimad Bhagavatam. He was cursed by Shrini. But he was not aware that he had been cursed. He went back to the palace and he was carrying on with his duties. But then, Shamika, the father of that Shrini, he came to Maharaj Pariksit and told him, "I'm very sorry to say my son has cursed you, even though he's very unqualified, but still the curse will have effect. You will die within 7 days by the bite of a snake bird." So Shamika offered Maharaj Pariksit, "I'll remove the curse because it was wrong and he's unqualified, it shouldn't have happened, it's not right. So let me just remove the curse and you carry on and life will go on." But Maharaj Pariksit requested him, "No, please don't remove the curse. Leave the curse. I accept it. I will die in 7 days by the bite of a snake bird." So, this is because he accepts it as the will of the Lord. He has that humility, that Krishna consciousness, that vision of Krishna everywhere and within his own life. He has that faith in the Lord, and he himself is completely fearless. Let anything happen on the material level, it doesn't matter. If it happens, it happens by the will of the Lord, and that's good for me. So he refused the offer of Shamika Rishi to remove the curse. Well, this is the consciousness of the very elevated devotees. Let me close perhaps by telling you a little story in this regard. It's interesting. There was a king in sort of Vedic India. There was a king, and he was a bit of a devotee. You know, something, not too much, but he was a bit of a devotee. Depend on which way the wind was blowing, but he was sort of on and off. But he had a minister who was really a great devotee, very, very sincere, sold-out devotee. So they were in the forest one time, the king was hunting. The king slipped, and an arrow, he was aiming his arrow at something. He slipped, the arrow jumped and cut off the top of his thumb. Hare Krishna. And he lost like the top quarter of an inch or whatever of his thumb. And he was looking at this and saying, "Look at that! This is terrible! Look what happened! Oh no!" And the minister said, "It was Krishna's mercy." And the king said, "What do you mean, Krishna's mercy? Look at this. I lost part of my thumb. It's terrible." And the minister said, "No, it was Krishna's mercy." And the king got really angry. "I lost part of my thumb, and you say it's Krishna's mercy? You're a nonsense." And he had his soldiers arrest the minister and throw him in jail. So the minister is now in jail. Some days later, the king went out hunting again, without the minister, of course. And he got lost in the jungle. And he got arrested by some aborigines, kind of wild people. And they told him, "Wonderful, we're so happy that we caught you. We will offer you as a human sacrifice to Mother Kali." That's wonderful. were very happy. So the king, of course, was very unhappy, really disturbed. So they're preparing him to be the human sacrifice. The priest was inspecting the king's body, and he noticed, look at that! Part of his thumb is missing. His body is not whole. We cannot offer him as a human sacrifice. It would be Kali Aparat. So we cannot offer him. They let him go. Now the king is walking home, and he was thinking, wow, it really was Krishna's mercy. And I didn't understand it. And I had the minister arrested. Oh no, what an offender I am. So he went back and released the minister and apologized. And said, you know, you were right, it really was Krishna's mercy. I'm so sorry I locked you up. And you know what the minister said? He said, no, you locked me up. It was Krishna's mercy. And the king said, no, no, it wasn't Krishna's mercy, it was my nonsense. And the minister said, no, it was Krishna's mercy. I'll explain why. The minister said, if I was not locked up in jail, I would have been with you in the forest. I would have been arrested with you. And they would not have offered you, of course, as a human sacrifice, because your body is not whole. But my body is whole. They would have sacrificed me to Kali. So it was Krishna's mercy. It is just a little story, but so these great devotees, they're on very exalted platforms of consciousness, and they can accept everything as Krishna's mercy and be unaffected. The time of death comes, no problem in any way, no problem. They lose everything, no problem. They get everything, no problem. Because they're really sheltered by the Lord and they feel that shelter. That just, it's like all-consuming shelter. All-consuming shelter of the Lord. And feeling it so vividly and strongly, they feel, let's give it to others. They glorify the Lord. They glorify His shelter. They chant His holy names. And they give that to everyone else. Understanding there's nothing else which can help at all. Political change, forget it. Forget it. You know, it can just be from the frying pan into the fire. You know, financial improvement. Win the lottery. Oh, just doesn't know. I was also reading, well, a few, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, one man in America won like $140 million in the lottery. He got so much money, gave up working, bought a big mansion. And then, because he was lower natured, he started drinking too much. And he got into the wrong company and just messed his life up terribly. And then he killed someone in a drunken fight. And then he was executed. And what I read was his wife was saying, on the day of his execution, his wife was saying, I wish he hadn't won that money. We were better off when he was working in the factory. So, these things cannot help at all. In fact, generally, they make things worse. And at best, they can't help in any substantial way. So the advanced devotees realize this. And to whatever degree a devotee is advanced, the devotee realizes this and develops that desire how to help the others, how to help change the world for the better by giving everyone the same shelter, the same opportunity to shelter the Lord's lotus feet. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.
I paid him 10 minutes.